Okay, with Luke Rex, Bonding is a short film. He's the writer, he's a director, he's also the star actor in it. He's a busy guy. And you're also a not a psychiatrist, but a psychologist, correct?
That's right, Matthew. Yep, I'm a psychologist. It's been a busy year.
So you got into the psychologist game, so to speak, and then you became a filmmaker afterwards?
Actually, the other way around. I moved out to the United States. I was born in Australia and moved out to the US in 2006 after winning a green card in the lottery. And I was pursuing my acting career out there, and then came out to Los Angeles for film. And in 2013, I went back to school to pursue some academics because I had some guilt over not finishing my undergrad in Australia that I dropped out of in 2003. So yeah, I just one thing led to another. I kept taking subjects. I transferred to UCLA pre-psych, and during this time, I was started to do some psychodrama groups for adults and teens in recovery and addiction, but was doing some short films on the side. But my academics started taking up a lot of time. So I did my master's and then my doctorate in clinical psychology, recently became licensed. But I made this short film Bonding after graduating in 2022 from the doctorate program. I took a few months off and decided I wanted to challenge myself by directing a short. So here we are.
Oh wow. Usually it's the opposite. Someone basically has this career and then they become like a lawyer, doctor, and then they become a filmmaker. But you did you're the backwards guy. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was just one of those moments where, I don't know a lot of people, sadly. I think the industry, for better or for worse, you need to know people. And I don't think talent is what gets you into the industry. It can sustain a career, but, I just had to be real with myself. And, there was no shame or no, I mean, some disappointment, but I just wanted to make sure that as I was getting older, I had a more of a stable career. And the psychology really became something that I became passionate about, and it's been cool to synthesize, my work as a acting teacher and an actor, and work with people in recovery and do psychodrama and drama therapy. But making the film was a lot; it gave me a lot of joy, and we've just been having a wonderful run right now. 8 months in, over 50 award wins on the festival
Yeah,
circuit.
we're gonna get to that because it's doing
Yeah.
well. But that said, they go hand the human condition goes hand in hand in those two professions, right? Acting,
Yeah.
filmmaking, psychologist, psychiatry. Like it's
Yeah.
all about the human condition. It's all about figuring out who we are, I guess. It's all about kind
Yeah.
of figure
I
out the
think so,
psyche of
Matthew.
like the inner like the psychology of like who each of us are as an individual, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, Ethan Hawke was talking about this recently, how actors make wonderful directors because, we're learned to how to tell a story, what motivates character, why is the character walking into this room, why are they going, why are they wearing this? Like, why are they saying this? And he was encouraging film schools to teach acting to more of the students that come through. There seems to be more of an emphasis on cinematography.
Oh,
But so you're
100%,
right.
yeah. But just to
Yeah.
become a better director too, right? Because it's like the performance is the performance. It's like if you don't got a good perform you've got a false performance in your film, you know better than anybody. The film,
Yeah.
the audience is out of the take they're taken out of the film. They're not interested anymore.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right, Matthew. I mean, actors and therapy kind of go hand in hand. And my first couple of therapists were actors turned therapists, so that was interesting. And yeah, you're learning about the human condition, and then the acting does translate into, a good director. I think I had to really, I was nervous about doing this in the sense that it could have flopped, but I just told myself, I know what my strengths are. I'm not a technical director. I don't know everything about aspect ratios. I mean, I learned a lot. I don't know about LUT, LUTs and, all the different lenses, but I had a vision, and I think I just went in with a vision and understood, spoke to my strengths and was a good communicator, and I could, direct the acting really well and did a good shot list. So it all helped. Yeah.
So let's talk about the film. 13 minutes long,
Yep.
Bonding. It's really about like this your character is like this psychiatrist, this doctor's in a bar and people approach him, I guess the CIA. And
Could be.
there's a mission and it's like a really kind of intense kind of relationships going on with the
Yeah.
bartender, with the the characters going on in the film. And then we're kind of going down this rabbit hole of like this of this character, right? So this starts with this normal guy sitting at the bar, and then it turns into this like pretty intense drama that really is really mainly one location and nicely shot, nicely photographed. And like you said, it seems to be sweeping all the sweeping the nation or even around the world of the with the with your like it's
It's,
getting everywhere.
yeah, I mean, the story's pretty simple. It is about a psychologist. You know, you write about what you know, but the narrative is intentionally slightly unspecific. I mean, I have a couple of niggling things. I wish I had a couple of inserts in there. It's not clear he's a psychologist, but that's okay. You have to listen really carefully, but I really didn't want to give the audience too much. I wanted to treat them with a lot of respect, and you know, you have to listen to every line, and there's a lot of abstract dialogue. So, you know, that's okay. Audiences can make of it what they want. You thought they were CIA. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I have my own version of events, but like Quentin Tarantino said, what's in the case? Leave it up to the audience's imagination. It's fine. Yeah, it was one location. I secured the Edmund on Melrose, wonderful owner there, Eddie Simonian, beautiful bar. And it was inspired by a script, the film Bonding, that I wrote, which was initially about a young James Bond, hence the title Bonding. However, as I was thinking more and more about doing it, I thought, I don't want to play Bond. It's a bit of a rip-off, and I don't want to do that. But what I thought about was, what if Bond had had a son? What if in his early youth in the UK, in his early 20s, late teens, he had, you know, shacked up with a girl one night at some
Well,
party and had a kid?
one would assume that Bond he shacked up a lot of girls. He probably has more than a few kids,
Exactly.
right?
So
We
this is
learned in the
not an
last film too, right?
it's not
So
an inconceivable idea. And this is what I'm trying to pitch to the TV studios right now. Like, look, yes, we'd have to get Eon Productions on board. It's their intellectual property, but I'm not ripping off any of the characters from the film. This is an alternate universe, as Indie Shorts Mag put out, that it creates its own story. So my character is the son of James Bond, never met him, grew up in Australia, and became a psychologist. And in that journey, took on a job with the CIA and started to get to know a little bit about Bond's background, but never met him. And the other character, played by Yannick Olin, who does a great job, multiple award nominee for her performance as Anastasia
Oh, she's
Mansfield.
fantastic.
Yeah, is M's daughter. So a lot of people, only one critic picked up on that. She's M's daughter. So M, Dame Judi Dench from the series, that's her daughter. Now, whether she works for MI6 or the CIA or some other organization, my thought is it's something different, but that's okay. It's a real, like I said, the narrative opens up into many possibilities, and it's got a bit of hints of esotericism, like what does the rune mean? Who's this bartender? Who's Ryan Stroud's character, Darius Lucas, and all that. So it's a bit confusing, and it's definitely a more of a, it leaves audiences wondering what's going on, but that's okay. It's a proof of concept as well, which won an award out in New York for proof of concept, which was cool. So if anyone from Netflix and Amazon and Apple are listening, come to the screenings. We've got a few coming up, Idlewild, Garden State Film Festival, as well as First Glance in Los Angeles. And they can see for themselves, come to the screening and see what they think.
And when I first watched it's we had played it at one of our fan fiction festival, and when I first watched it, I'm like, well, how is this a fan fiction dust film? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then
Well,
we
it's
what happened was that you got us. We were like, we're watching the film and we like it, right? It's like, oh, this is a good film. This is I don't know how it's fan fiction, but then and then it kind of like because you don't give it away in the synopsis,
no.
right?
No, I think a lot. I mean, some people watch it. Look, this is the beauty of it. It's, as a psychologist, my thought was, I want audiences to think. I don't want them just being fed all this information. So I even cut lines out where she says, you know, Dr. Flemington and CIA. I just cut it all out. I mean, I wish I had an insert, like I said, of like a lanyard or something that where it says the conference he came from, but it's okay. But yes, some audiences watch this and don't even pick up on Bond at all. Have no idea, which is awesome. Other people get it. Only one, like I said, only one critic has got it fully, but it requires careful watching. But yeah, I really hope we can take this further because it's a great idea. It'd be a great limited TV series, and Sadly, it's a lot of, you can't show your intellectual property or your ideas to these managers, agents, or studios, mainly the studios, because it's like they say, you need a referral. And if you don't know these people, then it's like, what do you do? How do you get your products out there? And there are so many good films out there on the circuit that are worthy of features, TV series. It's a bit of a closed shop, unfortunately, for some people, but I'm going to keep positive and I hope that, we can get this out there.
Yeah, well, basically, it's about making money too, right? So when the film, when you decide to put the film online, and it gets some traction, and basically it has like some good vibe after all the awards that you've won, so you got that at the back. You know what I mean? Like it's all about kind of building up the resume and then showing that you can. It's about that you can make money, that a company can make money from your product, right? So.
I think there's, the product is viable. I think in terms of there's an existing fan base, and like maybe some of the existing Bond fans might not like this. They're more into the big action sequences. This is more of a sort of X-Files meets mystery
Yeah.
spy thriller. So, but I mean, I think it's definitely a viable money-making product. I think it should interest a lot of people.
Well, you need scenes like this in the Bond. If you're going to talk about a Bond movie, you need scenes like this, the setup, the action scene. There's context, there's emotion, right? If you're just having straight up action, then basically there's no psych, pardon the pun, there's no psychology with the character, right? So basically, yeah.
Exactly. And it would just be a very different narrative to them. And last thing I'd want any of the production companies that might be interested in working with me is that they think it's like Bond for the small screen. It's not, it's more like the X-Files, which is, it's far removed from James Bond, as you can imagine. But yeah, there'd be some action, but it wouldn't be like the grand. I mean, Bond is its own product, isn't it, for the big screen? Just so, but yeah, it's an exciting journey. I mean, we've won, I think, now awards across every aspect of production, including sound design, best original music, best international song, editing, writing, all been. No, we've been nominated for writing, but we've won best film, best cinematography, best editing. So yeah, it's been really just very eventful and fun, and we still have another year to go on the run, so we'll see where we end up.
So let's talk about some of your key creatives on the film. So you mentioned Janica. Is it Janica Olin who
Jannika
played
Olin, originally from Sweden. Yeah, she's a good friend of mine. We met in New York. She plays Anastasia Mansfield, the operative who apprehends Dr. Flemington and takes him off on this mission. Wonderful actress. She's done some off-Broadway self-devised shows. Really interesting person. Is a wonderful actress. And then Darren Lipari, who plays the bartender. He's won Best Supporting Actor as well, Sydney Film Fest, Green Jack International Festival. He's a wonderful actor out of New York, living in LA. Met him in New York as well. Really top bloke. Very versatile actor, was in 21 Bridges. Just a very giving actor, just super funny and spontaneous. And then the character Darius Lucas, played by Ryan Stroud, who I randomly met in North Hollywood many years ago in between class as well as teaching at the Young Actors Studio. Really giving actor, very generous, great screen presence, very photogenic. And then on the production side, there was Laura Jansen, DP. I mean, she's won, I think, at least four awards,
Yeah,
nominated.
it's a nicely shot film. Like it should, they really, she really takes advantage of the tone and basically the template of the scene and getting the best out of the location as well. So.
And I think, credit too to Pete Sajado, who worked as the post-executive producer. And did the color and the edit. There was a lot of thought put into, even though it's a short film, there's four different looks. And we even did some color transitions between the looks, so it was very subtle to create more of a kind of Twilight Zone-y feel between the bartender and and Darius. But yeah, Laura just did a great job. Alexa Ari mini camera, just super professional, and her crew were fantastic. We operated on a skeleton crew, but we all got it done in one day,
Oh,
on
wow.
day one shoot. Yeah, it was. We started at about, I think we did the first shot around two, which we never even used, which was like this kind of like overhead shot looking down at the bar. We used a little bit of it, But yeah, we shot it all in that afternoon, and then that night until about 2 in the morning. Yeah, but Laura, awesome. And then Pete, great edit, really, really thoughtful edit. We wanted the film to breathe a lot, so he did a nice job just keeping that, keeping with that vision, and did a really nice job with his with our sound guy, Daniel Teo, who was also involved in the music, co-composer, and he did a wonderful sound design on this. Just really, everything just came together with the ethereal nature of aspects of the short and just the overall kind of building suspense. Some really nice work with the sound. I mean, you don't realize how hard that job is. I mean, they had to clean up all the refrigerators coming on off and on. We couldn't turn the fridges off.
Yeah.
So between takes, you'll have takes with the fridge off, takes with the fridge on, and he had to clean all of that up and just did a really nice job on the sound. He's won many awards as well for this. So yeah, just they were the key creatives. And then I had some associate producers. Shout out to Christian Tico Herrera, who's a great DP in his own right. Won a we I think he either won or was nominated for a snow, an episode of Snowfall. We used his lenses. Tico lenses, wonderful lenses, really interesting bokeh that they give in the background, flares, and JB Rutigarama, and then Jamie Saginaw. So just good friends of mine who are just great filmmakers, just very multi-talented people, whether it's DPing or producing, acting, writing,
All
really
right, so
good people.
let me talk to you about, because you said something interesting in the blog interview where you had a DP and he pulled out because he was busy, and he referred Laura Jensen like right at the last minute, which obviously, like, it's a really nicely photographed film, like nice shot list, nice direction there. What was so then so he pulls out, this is your key collaborator on set, you're acting, so you're in every scene, so you need somebody, your eyes, you need someone who has a different, like, who's basically seeing what you're not seeing because you're in front of the you're on screen. But you have her. So what did you do? How was your setup? Did you, like, send her a storyboard? You send her a shot list? Like, how did you guys kind of get this quick relationship going before you
Yeah,
started
about a
your
week.
shooting?
Yeah, JB was in the UK and the Queen passed away and he was working for one of the network studios, so he had to cover that. And he gave me a referral in Laura, and I just knew almost by the first call she was the right person. Like she was just wonderful. I think I called her back that day and said, "Right, let's do this." Yeah, I sent her a shot list. I'm not a good drawer. I just kind of set her like it was all in words.
Yeah.
But yeah, you make a good point about as an actor, because I was on set and I wasn't behind the camera, I wasn't seeing any of my performances at all. So I had a friend, Jamie, who's an actress, who's a script supervisor and associate producer on set. So I would just check in with her now and then and say, "How was it?" She just said it was good. And I mean, I don't think I looked back at any of my performances on camera at once. So it was just trusting what I was doing on camera as an actor, which is a little bit risk-taking, because what might feel good might not translate to the cinematic truth. But I think I just had, fortunately, just enough experience to trust that what felt less is more was working. And then the people around me were saying it looks good, so I just trusted them. But the only time I could look at the monitor was when I wasn't in the scenes, which was only a couple of scenes. So, yeah, but Laura, yeah, we just, we worked on a shot list. I sent it to her, and we had a pre-production meeting, so she was able to scout the location. And we almost shot in sequence, except we had to wait until it got dark to do the night stuff, because anything shooting like towards the windows, we had to wait till it got dark. But
Yeah.
other than that, we pretty much shot in sequence. And it went super smooth. I mean, I don't think we did more than two or three takes per sort of setup. And we filmed most of the short, like with Janneke and I, for those dialogue scenes. I think we shot from almost, like there's certain segments of the script, but we shot from 2 to 3 or 4 pages at a time. So it worked out great. Oh, sorry. I'm
Yeah,
sorry about
totally.
that.
And so, and then you're talking about in the blog interview as well. Yeah, that's a, like, it's so interesting you were able to do that, because I'm sure you had a little bit of anxiety about, oh no, my DP is can't do it. And it's like, you got all this, I'm sure you have bookings already and other crew members already set up,
Yeah,
and
I couldn't postpone
not,
it
yeah.
because of him not being there. But it was a good thing, because I've worked with JB before and he's an awesome guy to work with. He's so talented and just super generous and kind. But I knew it was an opportunity to work with another professional. And I thought, as a first-time director, it was a great opportunity just to expand my network a little bit and really feel like I was working like on a job as opposed to just working with friends, you know. It was really important to me on this short, as someone who's getting a bit older now, to be like, everyone has to be paid. I am not doing any freebies. I'm going to pay every actor. And I could have paid them zero, but I made sure everyone was paid a good rate. You know, and that way it just felt more professional too. Formed a production company, registered it with the state of California, like everything, got insurance, like did all the pre-production producing. I just immersed myself in it. It was a wonderful experience. So certainly some anxiety along the way, as you said, like with the TP pulling out. But you know what? In these situations, I'm sure you've interviewed many filmmakers who just feel like this, when it's meant to be, the universe just collaborates for these projects to come together. And that's what happened with this. Like the lady who created the rune in the film that you see an insert of, she was someone who used to, I used to, that was a customer of a wine bar that I worked in for 3 years in East Los Angeles at in Silver Lake and Cafe Stella. And I hadn't spoken to her in 10 years. She just happened to reach out to me about a week before the shoot going, "How are you? I saw you on LinkedIn. You're a doctor now. What's going on?" So we caught up, and it turns out she's a ceramicist now. She was a lawyer. So go figure. She made these runes in the urn, and it was just like, wow, all these little interesting things were happening. Great.
Yeah, totally. No, and like it, the way even the way you talked about like you wrote the script like a few years ago, and it's like you just kind of did it just for practice and learning the craft. It was like a Bond or origin story, kind of almost like a fan film script. And then you're like no intention of producing it or making it into a film, and then it kind of just like, and then you had the what ifs questions like as you're referencing before, right? Like what if it's the sun? What if it's, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a minute, there's something here, and you started massaging it, and then a year later you started shooting it, and then now it's like got all these awards
Crazy. And the script really came together, I would say, like a few days before the shoot. I found props that I hadn't seen in ages that worked really well for the shoot. The story evolved, meeting the makeup. Ingrid Weeks did a great job on the makeup. I mean, you don't even notice it. It's so like just perfect on Janneke and the rest of the cast. But, you know, we collaborated on things like the tattoos, and then that opened up stories as to how they got them, and the actors became interested. So it's a really great collaborative effort.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like there's a psychology, the like you have the plot point where like he's off to see his girlfriend in Mexico, I think. And it's like that's sort of like his life. It's like about like we cherish these kind of moments where then all of a sudden these people come in and it's like, no. It's like you're not normal. You're not a normal person. Like of course I'm paraphrasing the plot. Basically, you're not a normal guy. You got to do this. We need you, right? So then he texts her and says, "Oh, it's I can't make it." And it's like it's just like Bond, right? Where like it's like these like he doesn't he's got this obsessiveness, this mission. He's got to keep, quote like not to sound like a cliche, but try to make the world a better place, right? Like he's got things to do, right?
And there's backstory that we could expand in a pilot, like what the mission is, why they're actually bringing on a clinical psychologist. You know, that might be an interesting question for viewers to ask themselves. Why are they bringing on a clinical psychologist and a forensic psychologist to sort of help sort of save the world, so to speak? And but there'll be some background as
And
to
like Jack
who.
Ryan in a sense, right?
Like who the baddie is, and like maybe he has a background with this person. Maybe he treated him in Australia when he was working for the federal police in Australia before he became CIA. So there's an interesting sort of background to open up. And also the mother. I mean, it's, you know, and who that woman is. And I think there's an interesting story regarding, you know, the theme of fathers and sons, which might not be prevalent in the film, but there's a lot of symbolism regarding Bond as the martini glass and John as the rocks glass, different glasses, but the same sort of, you know, the father and the son, and like growing up without a father, what was that like for him? You know, so I think there's a lot of interesting dramatic themes we can explore.
Yeah, 100%. And so we happened to send you the audience feedback, a video. What did you think about what they had to say about your film from
No,
our
that was
perspective?
really cool. I think you guys have done a great job. We've submitted to hundreds of festivals. So I say this, you know, with, I guess having been exposed to the way festivals operate with filmmakers. And I think you're a very unique festival in offering this like verbal feedback on video, you know, for the filmmakers. I mean, first of all, filmmakers don't tend to get feedback. I'd say 98% of the festivals, and we've submitted to 700 festivals. So we really put a lot of resources into getting the film out there. And I'd say only about two festivals that come to mind that have said, if you want feedback, email this. One festival gave written feedback, and there were a couple of other festivals that gave like sort of scorecards, and that was cool. But you're the only festival to do like a video sort of, you know, montage of the feedback. So that was really cool to listen to. I listened to it quite a few times, and it's a real thrill, you know. It's like you're seeing in real time people, you know, giving you praise and constructive feedback regarding your work. And I think that's great for filmmakers. There's not enough of it.
Yeah, no, it's a great, like I said, it's a great film. And it's like because it's like but at the same time, it's like you alluded before, where your film, it's like even if you don't know Bond, you don't know the order, it doesn't matter. It's like I kind of like said, maybe these guys from the CAA, and you're like, maybe they're not. It's like, but you're saying it's like we're getting into the drama, we're getting into the conflict, we're getting into your story, right? Where it's like you don't really have to know anything, you just know that in this moment, in this bar, this is what's happening with these characters, and we're, as an audience, we're into it. We're wondering what's going to happen.
And I think there was another critic, Alan, N N I won't pronounce his last name incorrectly, from Film Threat, who said that, I think it's NG, said that it's a great lesson for filmmakers in creating mood and atmosphere no matter what genre you're working with. So, you know, I'll admit there's not compelling dialogue. I mean, I personally like the dialogue. It's a little abstract, but maybe from a film critic's point of view, it's not particularly compelling, as some people have said. However, it's if you read the script, you'd think, oh, this is not much. But what we did with it, I think, as a team, it's very visual. It's got great production design, really wonderful cinematography, great performances from the other actors. You know, I can't speak on my own behalf, although it's been great to win some awards, but the actual feel of the film, I mean, film's a visual medium. So when I was writing this, I was thinking a lot about how do I want it to look? So, you know, I think I learned a lot, and I can't wait to keep doing a little bit more.
Well, you and your character and Janica's character and his they're great chemistry. There's great
Thank you.
chemistry between the two of you. There's like a it's like you know it's like it's not It's not, it's nothing sexual. It's just like, it's, or it could be, you never know. But basically it's just something, yeah, it's just, there's like a power dynamic going on, right? It's almost like you guys are playing tennis with each other in a sense.
And I think it helps to know the performers you're working with. I mean, you see this with actors who build relationships over time. There's just a comfortability that Janneke and I have. And she was like, hey, you know, can I change this line? I'm like, of course, change it. She goes, I think this would sound better. Go for it, you know. The big believer in just letting actors have some freedom. And, you know, as a director, it's hard to kind of know sometimes when to champion your idea and stand by it. But, you know, the great thing about film is that you can always do another take.
Yeah,
So, end of the
exactly.
day, you choose what you want to.
I
But
said her name's Yannicka. I said with the I say I used her J. I pronounced her J.
that's okay. Yeah, Yannicka, it sounds like with a
Is
Y.
she like was that her like was that her hairstyle like always
Yeah,
or
so really interesting story. Yannicka, around, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, she developed alopecia, which is a hair loss
we heard
autoimmune.
that with the Oscar slap. We heard all about what alopecia was because of that.
Yeah. So, well, her journey's been extremely multifaceted, emotional, and she's really seen it as a superpower. She gave a TEDx talk. I highly recommend listening to it. She developed a one-woman show around it. Super talented person, and initially it was very hard for her, just due to the negative perception that being bald can have, and being a woman, a lot of people thought she had cancer, and you know, she gets stopped in the street. But she's really seen it now and taken it upon herself to see it as like a superpower. And she's been getting more roles than ever. And so good question. But yeah, I really wanted her to be bald. She's got a great wig wardrobe, but I said, no, let's just go with the
No, she was
blonde.
amazing. That
You
was
look
like it
killer
was
in this
almost
thing.
like I did he get her to shave her head for this? Because
I know I've been
she's
asked
so
that
perfect
before.
for this role, right?
And I mean, With the stig, not the stigma, but the perception that as a woman you have to have this long flowing hair. I mean, she looks absolutely beautiful in this film, just gorgeous face and just her head. I mean, her head, if you can just say it, it's just, you don't really get to see people's heads, right? But if I can say that, it sounds a bit odd, but I mean, just gorgeous and very, very beautiful and talented, intelligent actress. So I hope she gets a lot more work after this.
Well, congratulations on the film. I
Thanks,
really appreciate
Matthew.
your time and your candor. It's like I said, it's sweeping the nation. I know you're looking for certain aspects to get to the next level and kind of like get it in the right. It's like you're a lot of people have seen it. Now you want the right people to see it seems like. And what I mean by right people, the people that can kind of help shape the script and it's a proof of concept and take it to the next level. So anything we can do to help, we'll try to help in any way. But
Thank you, Matthew.
you're still in the midst of this festival run, so keep that going. And then yeah, I think the next step for you is to get either distributed somewhere or basically get it put it on YouTube and just basically just get some traction that way and like and say, hey, here's my film, watch it, everybody watch it kind of thing, right? So
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks, Matthew, so much for your time. This has been awesome.
thank you. All right, let's talk again soon and make
All
another
good.
film, make a couple more films. You got some
Okay.
talents.
All right. Thank you so much.
I
I
know it's
appreciate
not
it.
easy.
No, I know, but yeah, it takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? But yeah,
And money, right?
and
So
money. And money. Yeah.